County, any radio check?
Sounds good. N4ZLK.
Spent a lot of time on the phone with Patrick trying to get this Anytone 890 programmed and all the other stuff. I'm a DMR wannabe.
Probably a good one to talk to. I have no experience with DMR or that radio. I haven't got into that yet. Right now, it hasn't been of an interest to me. I'm sure it will be eventually.
Got me into ham in the first place is I was doing a lot of stuff with law enforcement during Hurricane Helene. When the internet went away, their DMRs went away. And these Anytone radios, they're like switch hitters. They go either way. I'm kind of thinking that might be the shape of things, you know.
Good radios, from what I've heard, and a lot of people use them, and they, since they do work both ways, analog or digital, it's a good option to have instead of multiple radios.
Be able to give up my Yaesu FT5DR or whatever this thing is. I love this little radio.
The Yaesus, most of my mobile rigs and a couple of handhelds, started out with a Kenwood that my father-in-law gave me, and I like Kenwood, too. I have no experience with ICOM at all. I've never owned one. I know those are all good radios, but I've just gotten used to the Yaesu system.
I made my mistake. I have ICOMs as my mobile radios, and my base station and my primary handheld are Yaesu. And I should just pick one brand.
I guess there's something to that. You can kind of be familiar with how the menus work. Even the Yaesu menus, until you get used to them, they're a little confusing. But I think they all are to some degree.
The thing I dislike most about Yaesu and ICOM, though, is that they're digital. They all have their own proprietary flavor of digital.
I think everybody hopes theirs will become the one that most people use, but it would be nice and probably effective if they allowed, even if they wanted to have their own, if they would put on the standard in there as well, kind of what everybody's gone to.
Well, where I live, there's nothing close to me that is D-Star, and there's nothing close to me that is CF4. Yaesu, so I had to, in order to play with that a little bit, I just had to go to the general, generic DMR with anything.
And I don't know what's out here either. I live out in the Pickens area, North Pickens. There's probably something around, because I'm not far from Caesar's Head, and the mountains in Pickens, I know there's some stuff, but I just haven't checked into the digital stuff yet. I've had so much fun with learning CW and working with that, and just some sideband HF, but mostly CW. And then when I'm mobile, or I know so many people on this repeater that it's just always monitoring this one.
I thought about getting into CW when I was in the Army. One of my additional skill identifiers was Morse code. But back in the 80s, the way we did Morse code was the flapper thing that I was around. That's like what I learned
from Stone Age. People, even people around here that I was met through work that did the Morse code through the military, and they were radio operators, and the way they learned, man, they told me they would spend 8 hours a day working on Morse code for weeks at a time, and I took about 15 to 20 minutes a day for about a year. Just did it. Just tried to be faithful at it. I don't know if I could have sat for 8 hours a day.
In the 80s, the communications was all taught at Fort Gordon, Georgia. And I was a radio teletype operator. But because it was an AM single sideband radio with a lot of range, you could have additional skill identifiers of Morse code and Transat microwave. So I got both of those, but I finished RAT and Transat that early, and then I had nothing but Morse code for 2 months, 8 hours a day to qualify. And in the end, I wasn't thinking in English anymore. I was thinking in Morse code. It took a lot out of me.
A copy anything without, like, if you're not paying attention, does it just come to you?
See, when I was in the military, I never used Transat, I never used Morse code. We had a code first group built into the rat rig that we could have used, except then the rat rig came out with these typewriters that instead of you typing in real time, you type it, and then it would fire it through a code first group. And, so that shortened your transmission time because the radio itself would be triangulated in 7 seconds. I never used it. I hear it, and I hear the ending used to be, particularly in all the military, Morse code transmissions, but, except for C, which I think is dotted dotted. I don't remember any of it.
Hear it on the repeater when it would ID and not want, you know. I knew it was the call, or figured it was the call, but couldn't translate it. But now, pretty good at when I hear, even if I'm on a different repeater, it kind of comes to me. I can think about it, and I just like it. I'm sitting here right now with the rig on. There's a couple of guys on 80 meters. Guy was calling CQ, and I was kind of listening to them when you chimed in here. So I think I know who it is. There's a guy that gets on here pretty much every morning. Lives up in North Carolina, made in North Carolina. I've talked to him a few times. That's probably who it is.
Old-fashioned. Pedal D, or you use that flapper thing that is so fast.
Got a straight key. It was my father-in-law's. It's an old, like a military, Navy-style key. And then also, I do have a paddle key, a Venture paddle key. And yes, you can make that one go a lot faster. I like the straight key because I'm not, unless it's, just a quick contact or just, a signal report and location, but I can't copy more than 12 to 15 words at a minute, like for conversational style. If I'm going to be talking to a guy and telling him what my radio is and where I live and what I do for a living, that kind of thing, and answering questions, I've got to go a little bit slower. And there's a couple of clubs out there. There's a Straight Key Sentry Club organization, and they encourage you to use straight keys for all their communications because they got a lot of, or for all their events. And there's a couple others like that. So I have both here just in case. If there's a faraway contact that's quick and just, kind of like to make it, I'll switch over to the paddles. But generally, I'd like to use the straight key.
So fast. I mean, some of those Morse code characters sound a lot alike. And I would imagine the straight key. The hardest part about straight key is we had to use how to figure out how to use the middle of our forearms, our hands. That's what we were moving to be banging on straight key.
Definitely wear your arm out if you don't do it properly, especially if you get into a long conversation. but it's also a lot easier. You can send a lot faster than you can receive, so you got to really be careful with that. I have to be conscious of that if I'm in a conversation to make sure I don't get going too fast, because generally people who are good with Morse code will match your speed. So if you respond to them slow, they'll usually respond back to you slow. It's courtesy. But if you start speeding up, they're going to start speeding up too. And you want to make sure that you're sending at a speed that you can copy.
Find yourself thinking twice about a character, and then you hear the other character coming in and messing yourself up, trying to figure out what the two of them are.
The way I learned it, they encouraged you to write it down, and When I would do that, when I copy writing down, I realize I'm writing letters without even thinking about it because of the muscle memory. But if somebody's going a little faster and I don't write it down, sometimes I get hung up on a letter. And I try not to, because you can skip a letter and still fill in the blank later, you know. But if you get hung up on a letter, you'll miss the next two or three, and then it really messes you up.
Do that on purpose, where you have these old salts there that, I don't even know how they figured out how fast they were going, but they would all of a sudden, in the middle of setting up something, they would jump in really quick to see if we could just skip and go to the next thing, and then do exactly what you said, just fill it in. And lots of headsets, lots of cuts and getting foam, and all that other stuff. Until you figure it out, just okay, I missed that one, hey. Just wipe it from the monitor.
Best to just skip if you miss a letter, and generally you can figure it out, especially if you're in a conversation. If you miss two or three letters, you can figure out the context, and some of the main stuff you use all the time, like your signal reports and rigs and antennas, you start recognizing, and they become words. You don't even hear them as individual letters anymore. You hear them as a complete word or phrase.
Five character groups, which would later be the code. We were not meant to know what we were copying down, just the five character groups.
Difficult, because you have no context there that you can fill in later.
Same rule, though. Still the same rule. They would tell us, go to the next one. Don't think about it, go to the next one.
Advice. Well, Bill, I'm going to let you go. I was doing some reading here, and I heard you call and wanted to say good morning and let you know everything's good. Appreciate the conversation this morning. Hope you have a good day. KQ4YCI from N4ZLK.
4ZLK, this is KQ4 Yankee Charlie India. 73 is to you, sir. Have a good day. KQ4 Yankee Charlie India is clear.